I'm reading from Colossians chapter 3, the first 17 verses, which actually, it's nearly the whole chapter. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. You used to walk in these ways in the life that you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you, and over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
You might think earlier I played a video. It might have felt for some people a little bit random, sort of shoved into the service, but actually it's there for a reason. And what we're going to talk about is, as Florence has read, Colossians 3. And I think it's really important to understand the backdrop of any church, of any of the early churches. And I came across this video and I just thought it was a brilliant way to tell people, if you were uncertain or you'd forgotten, of what early church looked like. Because sometimes, I do it all the time, where I'll get stuck in the complexities of church and the complexities of church, the stuff that complicates things, if you look deeper into it, tends to be created by humans. That's my opinion, and I do it. The simplicity of a group of people coming together who believe in Jesus is God-given. It's difficult, though, and it presents a lot of challenges. The sermon that I believe God has put on my heart this morning actually challenges me. Ken came up to me to pray for me earlier, and I said, actually, Ken, there are a lot of words of God speaking to me, and particularly around relationships. And Ken said, well, you've got to apply stuff to yourself, because if you instantly think that other people have got it wrong, that presents you with a problem, Andy. And that problem is that word, judgment. And it's easy to judge each other and to find fault in each and every one of us. And we can sit back, as I do, comfortably in our chairs and think, it wasn't me. And living together with Jesus center at what we do is hard. Rock hard. That's a word when I was at school I used a lot. I was every subject. That's rock hard. And it is, because we are dealing with humans. We're dealing with people. And it is so easy to run away from that. And it's so easy, because life is painful for ourselves, add in relationships, and it's even harder. Where Tonya and me live, we have three floors, and on the top floor is our study. And it's brilliant, because I get to hide up there. It's like a man cave, you know, and I get to hide up there. So when me and Tonya have difficulties, I can avoid. I could actually avoid the world for a long time. It's one of the beauties of where we live. You can hide somewhere. There's that many rooms, and nobody will ever find you. But that doesn't mean that's living. It doesn't mean that that's what God is calling us to. And it's Colossians is quite it's an interesting letter, because what Paul was doing, and there is a lot more to what I'm saying here, but just to cut the story short, there was a lot of weird stuff going on at the time around the church. A lot of people who had different beliefs. People who were, let's say, maybe not happy with the way reality was. So they were looking for something else. And it got dangerous. And Paul was concerned. It was dangerous because people were trying to look beyond Jesus. People were looking beyond who he is. So what Paul was doing and teaching was to teach us two things, quite simply. Who is God? Who is Jesus? Because he's God. And that's what Paul was doing through those letters. And we pick up in Colossians 3, where Paul is getting to the grips of what living as a believer means. And that's where we take it off, really. That's where we start. And Paul is so aware of emotions. And I don't know about you, but negative emotions have bad press. If I'm honest, I don't like them. And some of them, I don't like to be frightened. I don't like to be nervous. I don't like to be scared. I don't like to be in the presence of people I don't like, because I feel uncomfortable. I don't like to be in the presence of people who I feel I have nothing in common with them. I don't like to be in the presence of people that I feel they are far more superior than I am. I don't like being around people when I don't like myself. And these negative emotions run right through the church. It's understandable. Because if church is about people, we are relating and getting on and really working with people. And I was watching a video. I don't know if anyone's heard of anything called TED Talks. So some people might have heard of them, other people haven't. Well, basically, a TED Talk is somebody who tends to know quite a lot about their subject area. And the aim of this organization is to put those ideas out there. That's what it's about. So I was listening to a psychologist at Harvard University called Sarah David. And she's very interesting. Her work is around human emotion. And so she you can imagine, can't you, that she kind of has to deal with a lot of people who have lots of difficulties. And in her talk, she talks about hundreds of people coming to her saying they have all these negative thoughts about rejection, about failure or fear of failure, about being unhappy with life, about being stressed, about being anxious about things going forward, to the point where they don't want to do it because it is uncomfortable. It feels uncomfortable. And she responds by saying, so you've got a dead person's goal. And I thought, oh, that's rude. But she understood what people were saying, but it's that goal, that dead person's goal. And what she was saying is if you're living life to the full, which Paul is trying to teach us, is you have a live person's goal in Christ. So as we're moving forward in the church and as we're moving forward in our relationships, that's where we are. There is discomfort. There is uncomfortableness. There are people we don't get on with. There are people we would rather not be in the same room with. But if we are feeling uncomfortable, if we are experiencing discomfort, we are moving forward. So what's going on in Colossians 3 then? Well, with a backdrop of Acts, of this church, of people living together, of helping each other out, fulfilling each other's needs, providing for each other, and you know what, dare I say, actually wanting to be together. You're almost that feeling. I don't know if anyone's ever gone out with friends. I mean, I worked for a company quite a few years ago, and I worked at home, and it gets quite lonely when you're working at home sometimes. But occasionally, the whole team got together, and we actually enjoyed, we were really excited to meet up with each other, because we knew we'd have a good time. Apart from one time we went to Manchester on a Tuesday, and it was shut, but other than that. But we always had a good time, and it wasn't the entertainment, it wasn't what we were doing, it was the fact that we hadn't seen each other, and we wanted to be together. And because we wanted to be together, we wanted to help each other out. In my case, they helped me stop smoking. But we wanted to help each other out. And that's this early church. But because we're dealing with people, we're also dealing with different behaviors. And what Paul was trying to do was present two types of people. And that's what we're going to have a look at now. Oh, don't want that. The first type of person that Paul was wanting us to know about was the type of person who lived and things flowed from the world. I don't know, I look at all these words on here, and I know sometimes people stand up here and say, oh, that applies to me, but actually it really does. When I sat last night and put these words, I just thought to myself, really. So I don't know if you can see that, but the first one is selfishness. Anger. I get angry. It doesn't come from God. It's not a righteous anger. I get angry. I'm greedy. I get uncomfortable sometimes giving things because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I'm spiteful. I'll do things for the sake of it, knowing that I'll upset people because I think I'm shaking people up a bit. Just being spiteful. I can be arrogant. Actually, sometimes I can be arrogant and not actually know I'm being arrogant. But I know I can be. It doesn't come from God. It comes from the world, and this is what Paul's telling us. I can be self-centered or self-centeredness. I don't know, is that a word? I can be self-centered. That everything that happens in my world has to be positive to me, has to be about me. You know, there's many a times, I'm sure Adrian won't mind me sharing this, but a couple of times, maybe a few years ago, I turned up to church and I didn't want to be here because it was all about me. It wasn't about Jesus. It was all about me. I didn't want to be here. And anyway, I turned up and I had a right face on. I don't know if anyone's ever had those. Actually, my fear, if I seriously don't want to be here, I look at people like I want them to die. I don't mean that literally, by the way, but it's that look. I can't describe it. That's how I would describe it. So I spoke to Adrian afterwards on the phone because I just couldn't bear to talk to anyone. And I said, look, I'm really sorry. I came in really full of the world, basically. And he says, I knew. He says, because I thought I was going to die by your look. Because who do you look at the first? The pastor. It's your fault I'm here. You know, and it was self-centeredness. I've got greed on twice. So, you know, maybe I'm doubly greedy. Gossip. I think we've all done it. And sometimes actually we inadvertently do it as well, that we get a group of people together and we think we've been okay, but actually we're not. We're really talking about the people behind the back. And we might think we're doing it for good because we're in a position within the church maybe to do that. But actually, it's gossip. And what gossip does, actually, it hurts us more sometimes than the people we're talking about. Because we're starting to reinforce this thing that Paul is teaching us about the world and how the world flows in our lives if we're not careful. And I'm going to get on to turning that around. Unforgiven. I'm terrible because I say I forgive people and I don't sometimes. I do it with Tonya. Tonya, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but I'm sorry. I'll either forgive her or actually I'll say sorry. And I don't really mean it. It's just words come off the lips. And sometimes I'll say sorry to people when actually I'm probably being more self-righteous than actually sorry. Because really, something in here. Idolizing. I mean, that could be anything. I know there's, we talk about idolizing in the Bible, about the golden calf, don't we? And it's quite hard to relate that to the world now. But there's all kinds of different idolizing. There can be ourselves and self-centeredness. It can be, it can be money. It can be our lifestyle. You know, we're happy to turn up on a Sunday, but actually right through the week, it's all about idolizing other things that take over our lives, things that have a control on us. God's really concerned about that because he doesn't want things to have control on us. Because he's trying to set us free. When actually, when we focus on some of the things in our lives, they're trying to control us. And it's really weird, isn't it? This is for me. It's quite easy to feel like that, to do that, to be drawn in. Sexual immorality. Paul talks about this. It's uncomfortable. You know, it can be anything from the words that we use with people right through to the way we treat them. It can be around pornography. It could be our lifestyles. It could be anything. But Paul talks about this because he's concerned that it doesn't flow from the world. He doesn't want our lives to flow from the world. Now, you might think, oh, that's quite depressing, Andy. And I honestly struggle to say all that stuff. I struggle. But there is another way. And there's following Jesus. Because Paul also talks about following Jesus. Compassion. It's a life of compassion. It's a life of kindness. It's a life of gentleness. Patience. I'm working through a course that I get emailed to me in the morning. And one of the things I'm really relieved about, because I always thought patience was something that I had to really work at, because I'm rubbish at patience. It isn't. It's a gift, the Holy Spirit. Whew. humility. That's hard. And it's really interesting where Tonya and myself live. We can see as we walk around the street, people who have got difficult lives, who have really hard lives, and you can see the way they walk, just the shoulders, the pressure of the world pushing down on them. That's not humility. That's something else. Don't confuse that with humility. But sometimes we go through these things, and we come from it with humility. So what Paul was trying to do in Colossians 3, he was trying to compare these two lifestyles. Can we call them lifestyles? These two lifestyles. A lifestyle from the world and a lifestyle following Jesus. And that's what he was doing. But there's a really good bit of what we sometimes miss that Paul talks about, which I will talk about in a moment. But he was literally highlighting to these people, this is where you were. This is where you are. This is where you were. This is a life of broken relationships. This is a life of a difficult life of struggling. Even though struggling still happens in our life, I want to show you a different way to look at it. That's what Jesus wants to do. A life of chaos. A life that I don't know. I do this sometimes. I'll walk into. Have you ever done this? You walk into a room, and if I've got stuff on my mind, I can bring a room down just like that. I don't know if anyone else has done that. I genuinely can. I can also bring a room up, if I choose to, with energy. But it's all that stuff from the world and living and focusing on it. And then Jesus says, there's another way, following me. This other lifestyle, a lifestyle of compassion, of humility, of patience, of kindness, of gentleness. Of close relationships with God, close relationships with each other. I'm not saying easy. Please don't misunderstand. When I use the word close and intimate, I don't mean easy. It was interesting. Richard was standing up here talking about prayer. I struggle with prayer. You know, I hear a lot of people use words, I use them myself, of an intimate relationship with Jesus. That doesn't mean it's going to be all marvelous, wonderful in the garden. It means it's a real relationship. And with real relationships, they're difficult. I'm still learning this. As quite a few people in this room will know, being involved with Oakleaf Community, I'm in a position where actually it's really alien to me. I could happily live on my own still and have friends around us that I can go to as and when I choose to do that. But to actually live in a situation where your life interacts on a daily basis with other people, it's really challenging. And so I might think in my mind, well, actually, we've got a really good relationship today. Tomorrow, there's some uncomfortableness. Something's not quite right. There's a discomfort. But what Jesus is telling us with discomfort. And it's Romans 5, 3-5. But that's not all. We gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us to endure. And endurance builds character, which gives us a hope that will never disappoint us. All of this happens because God has given us the Holy Spirit, thank you, Lord, who fills our hearts with his love. Jesus never said we wouldn't experience these negative feelings, this discomfort in the pursuit of him. But he did say our faith will develop and grow. And that's why I struggle with these relationships. And I so want to follow Jesus. And then I continue to read Colossians as we've heard this morning. And Paul uses a really important word here, and he says, you used to walk in these ways. So for anyone who follows Jesus, used to walk in these ways. You used to walk with the world flowing through. Oh, I'll come back to that. Has anyone ever phoned a call centre before? I don't know if you've ever heard it. I hate them. They just drive me absolutely crazy. And you have so many different options, don't you? And then you miss the option, and it says, if you want to hear the options again, press hash. But then you press star instead of hash, and you know how we go, well, I do when I hang up. Paul presented us with two lifestyles, from the world and following Jesus. He didn't present us with a third option. He didn't say, you can call up and go, I'll take option one today because I'm not feeling good. I'll rely on the world. And he didn't either say, I'll take option two because I'm feeling absolutely brilliant. So I can follow Jesus today because I just feel great. Those options weren't available to us. And there wasn't a third option either where, well, you know, depending on how I'm feeling today, I might go from the world, but then actually I've had my morning cup of tea. I've watched Jeremy Kyle. I might go to following Jesus. He didn't give us that option. But not for believers anyway. He didn't. He didn't give us that option. Because the Holy Spirit is involved. And if you're following Jesus, it doesn't matter how much you try to stop yourself, you will change if you're following Jesus. And I don't know about you, but I absolutely, that blows my mind. I put powered by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if most people have got mobile phones, but normally mobile phones now, you join Tesco or Asda or TalkTalk or whatever, and they're always powered by EE, aren't they, or O2 or whichever networks are available. We are powered. Our change is powered by the Holy Spirit, not by us. He wants to change us. Paul talks about we are continually being renewed. It doesn't stop, but there is a but. It's about following Jesus. So, when we look at the backdrop of this church, of this Acts church, this first century church, this early church, groups of people coming together, it's difficult, isn't it? It's challenging. It's hard. It's uncomfortable. And that's what Paul was concerned about, because he knew if you took the first option, that will cause disarray, conflict, unhappiness. Follow Jesus. And yes, we will experience discomfort, difficult relationships. But the Holy Spirit is moving us forward. So, God asked me last night, really. I said it was about me as well. And he said to me, what to do? Make that choice. And he gave us three words, I believe. You need to test this. Three words: prayer, service, and courage. Prayer and pray for each other. Pray together and pray about each other. That's what he said to me. Service, serve. This doesn't mean about taking on loads of work. This is about identifying a need in our community, our family here, and serve. If the chances are, if you see a need in somebody's life, God has put that on your heart, not for anyone else. So serve. if you feel drawn to it. But you know what? It doesn't matter how much service you do, God isn't going to love you anymore. And the final one is encourage. Encourage people to know more about God. Encourage people to move forward in Him. In the conversations we have a house group of 24 on a Monday night, and we're working through Romans at the moment. I say working through, we've never really got through it that quickly. It was a bit like John, you know, the Navigators, it was supposed to take 3 months, took 2.5 years. It's that kind of thing. Because we're encouraging each other, we're talking about God, we're excited to talk about what's on His heart, what's happening in our lives, and we're worshiping and we're praying together and being together and enjoying, just basking in His presence. So I invite you, what to do, and make that choice. Let's pray. We say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord, we know that you want to change people's lives. And we know you do change people's lives. And those changes are in the small and they're in the big, Lord. I believe, do you know what? I mean, this is on my heart, that we have a God who wants to remove some of these pressures on our shoulders, things that are weighing us down. Things of finance, things of relationships, things of addiction, things of the world. He wants to work on our anger, our self-centeredness. Not because He's angry at us or upset with us, but because He loves us. So Lord, we thank you for your love. Come Holy Spirit. Lord, we just sat here listening to you and receiving you. So I invite you, the worship band are going to come up in a moment. And we're going to continue to worship, but I just invite you to just spend time. And if you're in the worship band and you want to spend some time, then please feel free.